one of Miss Lillian's very favorite songs. She requested that many times. Very good job. Thank you so much. I'm going to do something before I get into my preaching today. I'm going to read our church covenant in about midway through the sermon today. We're going to have a small portion of the life of Israel where they renewed the covenant in the plain of Moab. But we used to keep on our walls the church covenant, and we need to read this occasionally. The church covenant, having given ourselves to God, we now give ourselves to his church and covenant with it and with each other, as also with God, that we will forsake all unrighteousness, even the appearance of evil. We will abstain from all questionable pursuits and pleasures. We will forego all hurtful habits. We will avoid all evil associations. We'll follow earnestly after righteousness and true holiness in the fear and love of God. We will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that all needful and helpful things will be added to us. We will seek entire consecration to God. We will live a life of prayer. We will seek constant abiding of the divine life within us. We will be satisfied only when we have evidence that we please God and are accepted of him, that we will faithfully improve all the means of grace. We'll attend and support the services of the church, the preaching, the social services, the business meetings. We'll cooperate with our brethren in every enterprise, having for its end the glory of God and the salvation of men, that we'll be Christ-like in all our deportments. We'll be tender, affectionate toward each other. We'll be careful of each other's reputation, thinking no evil and backbiting not with our tongues. We'll return good for evil. We'll be just and honest, truthful, honorable in all our dealings. We'll do unto others as we would be done by. We'll be meek, loving, and forgiving as we desire and hope to be forgiven. That we'll be faithful Christian workers. We'll do whatever Christian work comes at hand, shunning no cross, shirking no duty. We'll ever seek opportunity to do good, to glorify God and to save souls. We will study to win our associates, our neighbors, our families, all of whom we may have influence, to become Christians. We'll count it more than our meat and our drink, more than anything else, to do the will of our Father in heaven, to lead souls from sin and death and lead them to God and heaven. And finally, that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with another church where we can continue to live by the spirit of this covenant and the principles of the Bible. That's a covenant of our church, and I think it's a good one. Again, we welcome you to Sandy Point. Hope that it is well with you today. If you have your scriptures, we will be reading from Matthew chapter 26 today. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. Verses 69 through 75. This is after Jesus has been arrested. He was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had sweated blood for us. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, he couldn't be still, could he? Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I know not the man, I promise you. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. It's brutal, isn't it? And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus before the cock, which Jesus said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly, weeping over sin. That's what Peter is doing. That's what we need to do today. Weeping over sin. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for this privilege I have to share the Word of God here today. I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify God's people, dear Lord, that you would lead us to a closer fellowship and communion with you. Lord, I pray that you would give us sensitivity to our sins and the sins of our nation. I pray that you would soften our hearts, dear Lord, that we could weep over sin. I thank you for each one who's gathered here, and we pray that everyone here today has been saved. If not, I pray the Holy Spirit would convince them that they are lost and they might come to know you today. Again, we pray for the sanctification, the edifying, the building up of God's people. Bless those who are here and those who are watching. I pray the Spirit of God would move on us all here today and bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Weeping over sin. Peter had a failure there of epic proportion. He had a meltdown, exactly is what he had there. And before he knew it, he had denied the Lord three times before people there, you know, and even with an oath and even with cursing, and you know, and this is a lesson to show us that we're not above making mistakes. Our own biggest enemy is ourself. You know, I've been preaching for a while, and I shared with the church in revival this week at Prospect. This doesn't get easier. It's harder. I have to pray more now at my age and this time of my life than I ever have before. You know, when God's people, we think, well, this gets easy. I know the way. Now I can coast. Think again. This is hard work. Following Jesus is not easy. It is the best life, but it is not easy. We must keep on our toes. We must continue to be on our knees in prayer, or we're not beyond making some terrible mistakes. Terrible mistakes. I read a lot of quotes from old preachers, and I read several of them. I believe it was Thursday night at Prospect, and one I didn't read was, and I can't remember who it was, some of the old preachers, Spurgeon and A.W. Tozer and Billy Graham and all those great men of God and others. And one of them said, and I didn't write this down, but I think I remember, it doesn't bother me too much when people talk about me, because I remember that I'm probably worse than what they're saying. And we need to understand who we are, and that our problems are in our own hearts, you know. Peter had a meltdown here, but he also wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. Now let's back up just a little here. All of this in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Things are coming to an end with Jesus. He has come to Jerusalem to die. The disciples had hopes that he had come to Jerusalem to lay hold and claim on the Messianic kingdom. That somehow he was going to usher in the kingdom reign, and we'll have it made. This will end good. All the time, Jesus telling them, we're going to Jerusalem and I'll be crucified. They didn't want to believe that because they didn't think that would be a good ending to the story as they knew it. And when Jesus is arrested, you know, they're shell-shocked. Jesus told them, you know, right after the garden, we find in Matthew 26 and verse 31. Let's go back to verse 31. After the Last Supper, and they end the Last Supper with a song. You know, they have a hymn. They probably sang one of the psalms. The songs were sung in the religious life of the Jews. Verse 31, then Jesus said unto them, you know, they went to the Mount of Olives and then the Garden of Gethsemane after the Last Supper. And before he prayed and rested here, he said, all you shall be offended because of me this night, and it is as it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. And they never heard a word of it until after the resurrection. And then they remembered. Peter, who is often the spokesman, who is never at a shortage of words, never at a loss of words, was Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then it says, likewise also all the disciples. They all said, that's right. That's right, we're in this to the end. And then they go to the garden, and Jesus prays three times the same prayer. Father, if it be possible that this cup might pass, nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done, while they slept and were out and all. And finally, Judas Iscariot comes with a group of the high priests and the temple police and arrest him. And he defends these. He said, let these go their way. I'm your man. You've come after me. let these go their way. He secured the disciples' safety and essentially said, dismiss them out of this. You don't want them. I'm the one you want. And then we read just a little further here as they arrest him. In verse number 58, the man who had just said, though I die with you, I will stick with you. I'm in this to the end. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end of it. He wanted to see how it ended, and it didn't end well for him. And that's where the story picks up about his denial there. But a little hint of just a little crack of weakness here. Following afar off. Following afar off is never a good thing. When God's people begin to follow the Lord afar off, we become vulnerable. You know, when church attendance begins to slack, when prayer life begins to suffer, when we don't have time to pray and to read the scriptures, and we don't have time to spend with God and put God first in our life, you know, we're somewhat following him, but it's not quite like it was before. We're sort of following afar off, and that gets us in trouble. It got Peter in a lot of trouble here. And he had a meltdown. He had a weak moment there, but to his credit, he did recognize his sin, and he wept bitterly over it. Verse number 75 says, when the cock crowed, when the rooster crowed the next morning, they'd been up all night, then it hit him. Then it hit him like a ton of bricks. You ever been awakened in the night and something hit you like a ton of bricks and you never thought about it and you said, whoa, I done something I shouldn't have done today. It's called conviction, you know. It's called the Holy Spirit convicting us. And when Peter realizes, and that triggers his memory, the words of Jesus said, Peter, you're all enthusiastic and charged here and emotional, and you're ready to go and to do this and do that. But before this night's over, you will deny me three times. I will not. I am ready to die with you. Boy, he was ready to go, but yet he had a meltdown. He had a failure of epic proportions. But to his credit, he remembered the words of the Lord. And that's a lesson to us. When we have these meltdowns and failures, we need to remember the words of the Lord. That's why we need to read this old book. Be familiar with it. It'll come in mighty handy. The Word of God came in mighty handy to Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. When Satan tried to tempt him with shortcuts to the Messiahship, it is written. And then when Satan tried to trick him with Scripture, it's also written, you can do it this way. Yeah, but that's not the consistent theme of the Bible. It's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We need to be acquainted with the Word of God so we will remember it, you know, when we get into trouble. When he realizes his sin, the Bible says he goes out and wept bitterly. Now, sin should cause us to weep bitterly, especially our sin. There's a difference in being sorry for the sins of others. We see the sins of the nation, some of the awful things like that, and we direct all of our brokenness to that, and it needs some. But let us, first of all, weep for the sins of ourselves. How can we weep for the sins of others if we not first weep for our own sins? That's why Jesus said, get the two before out of your eye, and then you can get the splinter out of your neighbor's eye. The first temptation comes for God's people to overlook our own sins, and we focus upon the sins of others. You know, at least, I thank God I'm not as other men. I'm not as bad as others. I've had people tell me that. Well, I'm not all that good, but I'm not as bad as a lot of people. Hey, that's nothing to brag about. I'm not like other men, not like this publican here. I do go to church. I give my tithes. I pray sometimes. I read the Bible now and then. So the Bible calls this thing a term, it's called it hardness of heart. That when God's people lose their sensitivity to sin, and that is our sins, first of all, or we can see it in other people. We can see the wickedness around us, and we need to see that. But what I'm saying is the Bible teaches us that we need to look at our own selves. We need to be sensitive of our own sins. Peter becomes aware of his sins here, and he wept bitterly. It ought to cause us to weep, especially our own sins. But if we can't weep for our own sins, how can we weep for the sins of this nation? God help us. Our sins first, and then the sins of others. Now I want to go to that reference I mentioned in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is here for examples, for our admonition, to show us the failures of our forefathers, which, you know, history has a way of repeating itself. There's no new thing under the sun. And they had the same failures that we do over and over again. The life of Israel was one of up and downs. Toward the end of the reign, the northern kingdom had already fallen because of idolatry and wickedness. It lasted for over 200 years, but finally the hammer of God's judgment dropped. They were carried away unto Assyria. The northern kingdom lasted a few more years, and toward the end of that, and they had already gotten more wicked than the other kingdom. It was God's people. What were some of the things they were doing? Sacrificing their own children. Human sacrifice, their own children. Caused them to be passed through the fire. Even one of the kings, Manasseh, sacrificed his own children. They had places for Baal in the temple complex. They had allowed the priest of Baal to have a place in the temple and other pagan gods. It's just anything imaginable. And God said, you are worse than the people around you. And then God sent Josiah, a young man, to be king. I think he was Manasseh's son. And he followed the Lord God. He had a good heart. And they have this building project. Not only had they spiritually allowed the temple to decline, they weren't really keeping it up. The physical part and the buildings were deterred and deterioration. It was going down, wasn't kept up. And finally, under Josiah, they finally decided, we'll budget the money, we will fix the temple up and make it look like the house of God, at least as we have some restoration here and try to get things in order under the young godly king. And while they're doing that construction project, there's one of the leaders of the, I think it's the high priest or something, somebody finds the Word of God. The book of Moses, and scholars think that this may be and probably was an authentic writing of Moses with Moses' signature on it, and it was likely the book of Deuteronomy. They found that it would be the equation of the modern day church losing the Bible for years. And all of a sudden, if you're going to rebuild the church, somebody finds a book or in the cornerstone out there. We found a book. I'm going to read you that story here. It's in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 through 11. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord here. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king, brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hands of them that do the work, and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. That's an expression of horror. That is astonishment with great grief. When they rip their clothes, that's an expression of horror, astonishment, and grief. Deep conviction for sin, and that's a good thing, isn't it? It's weeping over sin. It is likely, and most or many scholars believe, that it was the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the scene where Israel has sort of the renewal of the covenant in the plains of Moab. And in the 28th chapter and 29th, maybe the 30th, that God lays out by Moses here the blessing. This, and Brother Rick in Sunday school said, if they do what God said, it wouldn't be poor people. God said, if you live by my law and do my thing, you will be blessed. And God lays out here these blessings. You're going to inherit the promised land, and if you keep the covenant, if you live by my laws, you will be blessed. The land will be blessed, and you will enjoy the fruits of your labor and the goodness of God upon you. But it is called the book of the blessings and of the curses. There's another side of it here. And this is likely the part that he read. And he gets down to Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to read one verse for you. But, and he'd already laid out all the blessings that are yours as the people of God. All you got to do is keep the covenant. And we're renewing it here in the plains of Moab. But if shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God's commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And there's a long list. And that was read to the king. It is thought that he wept because he knew we're guilty of every bit of it. And the nation was beyond repair at that time. The judgment of God was coming. God took Josiah out of it before it fell. And he established some reform, but it was too late. He said, we have done all this thing, all this wickedness. And the young king wept there, ripped his clothes, because he had a deep conviction of sin. The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is prophesying a little later here under some of the last kings, and he could see coming doom, the judgment of God. You had the false prophets telling the wickedness in the kings there, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. You're God's people. God ain't going to let this city fall. Jeremiah said, that's not so. Don't depend on Jerusalem being what's going to save you. Say not the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these. You know, you're going down. They said, you are a traitor. He is called the weeping prophet because it broke his heart when he saw the hardness of heart among the people. When he saw nobody had any conviction for sin, God said, walk through the city, see if you can find me one man. Find me one good man. You know, it was awful. And so Jeremiah prophesied God's work and his word unto them, and he wept. Jeremiah 9:1 said, oh, that my head were water, as my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Broke his heart when he saw the wickedness, the tolerance of sin in that generation, and the judgment of God that was coming. Jeremiah 13 and verse 17, the word of God says, but if thou wilt not hear it, my soul shall weep in the secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Judgment is coming. It's breaking my heart. We're weeping because of the sins, and the judgment is coming. Chapter 14, verse 17. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with great breach, with a very grievous blow. Oh. We need some weeping prophets today. You know, as we look across the brokenness of our culture, we see in real time what is coming upon our nation. It ought to break our hearts, but in order to weep for that, we need to get ourselves in condition. We need some weeping prophets like Jeremiah today, weeping over sin. The Lord Jesus, you know, in just a few Sundays here, the last Sunday of this month is going to be Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday because I know that Easter is next Sunday, and we get into the Easter week and in the last week of our Lord. I love Palm Sunday. It is the day that our Lord was proclaimed publicly the Messiah. And all the city of Jerusalem acknowledged that day. And they really didn't have a part in it, because Jesus said, if you stop these, the stones will immediately cry out. It was written that he should be publicly assailed and proclaimed the Messiah. And he was that day. Oh, that was a good day for our Lord. He had a tough week. That was a good day. But during the midst of that, and we miss this so many times, it's only inserted in the Gospel of Luke during this historic triumphant entry, we call it. He rode the little donkey into Jerusalem, and all the pilgrims, a lot of these people from Galilee, probably blind Bartimaeus, one of them, you know, they came with Jesus to the great Passover. waving palm branches and chanting, Son of David, Hosanna. But Luke inserts here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41 that he paused a minute in this triumphant entry. And when he was come near, and when he got to the point from the Mount of Olives towards he could behold the holy city of Jerusalem, the city burst into view, that he paused. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hast known, even thou, the least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon the other, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Our Lord knew they were going to reject him. He knew these very people would say things like, when the Roman governor would say, I find no fault in him. I'll wash my hands of it. His blood be upon you. And they said, His blood be upon us and our children. That's some of the things that they would say. And it broke our Lord's heart, because he knew a few years, the Romans would come and utterly flatten the city, the temple, and loss of life. Oh, there was a great slaughter. He could see the judgment of God coming, and he wept over it. Broke his heart. Broke his heart. You know, it needs to break our heart. We can see that judgment. You know, don't believe these politicians that tell you everything's going to be okay. It can't be. As long as this nation is living in wickedness, promoting wickedness, it ain't going to be okay. It ain't. And it needs to break our heart, because we know that judgment is coming. Now, for God's people, we're going to be okay. Amen? But still, we weep for others. But before we can do that, we got to be sensitive to our own sins. Oh, it says, and Peter, when it hit him, he went out and he wept bitterly, brokenhearted. Sin needs to break our hearts. When we build up a tolerance for sin and it no longer bothers us, we explain it away. But it says what? He remembered the word of the Lord. It is the word of God that God uses to convict us for sin. The word of God was preached unto us sometime or another when we repented and got saved. The word of God, we need to be acquainted with it. And we need to read it and spend time in it. And we will remember the word of the Lord, and our sins will be evident to us. The Holy Spirit will convict us. Josiah the young king had a deep conviction of sin and broke his heart. And it needs to break our hearts today. Peter remembered the words of the Lord, sensitivity to sin, ours first and then others. There's also another scripture in the book of Luke that is often overlooked in this story. And I'm closing with this, Brother Danny. It just simply says that he heard the cock crow and he went out and he wept bitterly, that he realized what he's done, of course, and it broke his heart, and he wept bitterly. But there's another thing that Luke inserts here in Luke chapter 22, in verse number 61. During this deal, after the cock crows, as they take Jesus out of there, it says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord looked at him. He saw Jesus. The more we can be around Jesus, the more sensitive we're going to be for our sins. We get to where we can weep over our sins, and then we'll be in shape to weep over the sins of the nation. Sensitivity to sin. Ours first, and then others after that. The Bible has a term for that. Let's stand together. When we lose our sensitivity to sin, the Bible has a term for that, and it's called hardness of heart. And the Bible warns us against that. We're going to have an invitation here. If you're here today, you've never been saved, this would be a wonderful day for you to be saved. If you're here today and you want to join the church after you heard the reading of the covenant of the church, today would be a good day to do that. If you need to come and to pray about your sins or the sins of the nation, today would be a good day for that. We need some weeping prophets. Let us sing, Brother Danny. 49. And you can make some good decisions in your life. A sound mind, sanctified common sense. Don't be afraid to make decisions. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to follow Jesus Christ, to come and to give your heart to Him. And then if we're saved, we need to be good stewards. Make decisions. Sometimes they're tough, but take some chances for Jesus. If there's anyone here today has a need, you need to be saved, you need to come to pray about having courage to make decisions, we're going to ask you to come. We'll pray with you here today as we sing. Here's who you feel is under spiritual attack. Come and pray for them. Whatever your need is, we're going to ask you to come today and to pray about it. Brother Danny.